Did you get that? I'm so confused.
Also, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand train station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding Train Station. Living Between Cultures with Josh and Phelan.
We're back, finally.
Yes, we promised.
Yeah,
we promised we wouldn't be completely gone, but...
And then we disappeared for one of the weeks. I'm sorry. We had so much going on.
Yeah.
And kind of the reason that we are ending the podcast, that's the reason why we weren't able to make an episode last time. Those of you who listen on the audio streaming platforms, maybe listen to my little message that I recorded by myself. It was kind of weird. I've never recorded anything just by myself. I was just sitting here with my microphone talking to myself. But we actually got a lot of feedback from you guys. I wanted to say thank you for all of your kind messages, kind comments about how sad you are that the podcast is ending. There have been some suggestions of like, you know, just talk about a different topic and then you're not going to run out of topics for episodes. Or someone suggested that we should become the producers and hire other people to actually make the podcast, to actually be the hosts. Unfortunately, I don't think any of those options are going to be what we're going to be doing, but there's still a few episodes coming. And I said that last time in my solo episode that for two different topics, we're kind of looking for potential guests, and we got a lot of emails from you guys. So we really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And today we actually have one of the requests that you guys had. So in the last full episode, the last episode with you, Josh, we asked you guys what you still wanted to see and who you wanted to have on the podcast. And one of the suggestions was a YouTuber, a German YouTuber who lives in LA. Aramis is his name. And we were actually able to get him on.
We just got done actually having the conversation with him. So we're really excited to share it with you guys.
Yeah.
Like you said, Feli, so many of you have requested this. So we're super happy that it worked out both for him and for us to be able to sit down together and have this fun conversation. So with that, I would say, let's just jump straight into the interview.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're here with Aramis Merlin, at least that's how I would pronounce your name in German. How do you pronounce it in English? And also, welcome.
Thank you for having me. In English, I usually say Aramis.
Okay.
Aramis, yeah. Okay. Aramis Merlin.
Okay,
is,
cool.
How I pronounce it here. And whatever people say is okay.
Yeah, I know that struggle. Are they usually confused when they see your name?
Yeah. Most of the time, or it's like, what is it? Artemis? Ramis? Like, yeah, sure.
Now, is that a Künstlername? So is it like a stage name, or is that actually your name?
No, that's actually my name. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before.
Another last name, but I use Merlin is my middle name, and I use it as my last name here.
I feel like that fits in really well with what I know about you and your acting career. We're going to get into that a little bit more, but I know that you've recently kind of tried to get typecasted for certain genres, and I feel like that name fits in perfectly. But before we get into all of that, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where do you live right now? And where are you from originally?
Yeah, so I live in Los Angeles, and I've lived here for 9 years total.
That's impressive.
Now, I moved here 2014 from, well, I wouldn't say Hamburg, close to Hamburg, Schleswig-Holstein, for all the Germans listening, from a small village. So it was a big difference, big contrast to Los Angeles. And I moved here for acting. So I studied acting first in... not a college, but like an acting school for 2 years, 3 years, and so on. Yeah, so my main thing is acting. And then, I do YouTube as well. A little side hustle that worked out at some point after many years. I mean, you know the drill. So acting is my main thing, and then YouTube as well. And
so
yeah,
time-wise, how much time in a week do you typically spend on like acting, auditions, etc., self-tapes, whatever they do nowadays, and then how much time do you spend on YouTube?
Well, yeah, it changed over the years. The last year and the previous year where my YouTube was kind of starting to, you know, take off in the sense of it finally worked. And I saw that and was like, okay, now I got to really put some time in. And it was, you know, the pandemic anyway, so nothing else was happening. And I was probably spending like 70 to 80 hours a week on YouTube.
Yeah.
I wanted to do the 2 videos a week. And I mean, you know it, if you put some work into your videos, that takes long. And 2 videos a week was way too much. Yeah. And I managed
to feel like
it
I spent that
year.
Much time for just one, and I don't even publish one video a week.
Yeah. I pulled back a little bit to 1 video a week. Last week I didn't upload one, but I try to do 1 video a week. So now maybe 30 hours, depends on the video. Yeah. And the rest, well, acting wise right now, there's a strike going on. I'm not sure if you heard of that.
The writers.
The writers' right? strike, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really starting to affect everything. Oh. So there's not much happening audition wise. Of course, because I'm a little bit in the stunt world as well, martial arts stuff. So there's always training going on, and you always shoot stuff with your friends just to stay active and for, you know, if you do your own short film or web series or whatever. So there's always something going on, but you can't really say how much time exactly, because there are weeks where you barely do anything, and then there are weeks where you out every day basically. So
that's crazy. So you do acting, you do stunts, you also make music, right?
Yeah.
YouTube.
I hope so. Otherwise, it's just a very fancy background for nothing.
It's not here. True. It's just a Zoom background.
Well, I also I saw some videos of yours on social media. Is there anything else? Because that seems like you're just all round talent or whatever that would be called.
I mean, I just have, I always had like many interests, or which is a, I guess it's a good thing, but it's also not a good thing in the sense of, I don't know, like it's hard to focus on something if you like too many things. Mm-hmm. And then you have this, I don't know, you want to be good at the stuff that you do as well. So it's like hard to balance. And that was like for a long time, my biggest problem, the focus problem, basically.
Yeah.
To, really decide, and I'm not very decisive already, so that was pretty bad, yeah. But anyway, I started in music, basically. I started with opera singing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that online. I thought that was super interesting and wanted to ask you more about that. Like, talk about a complete, like, the juxtaposition between martial arts and opera.
Yeah. And then with the fitness stuff, that was always a fun balance when people found out about the other world. I was like, that's weird. But yeah, so music and then some you know, piano composing stuff. So that was, or is still a big part of my world. And I'm now more actively working on music again. That's why also I pulled back a little bit from YouTube. I realized I wasn't able to focus or have any energy left for these things that are very important for me. And you can't always incorporate it into your videos. I know you do some sketches every now and then too in your videos. I don't know if you do that still. I saw that before.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, like mostly just as like an intro part.
Yeah, but that's cool. Yeah. So, but that way you can like, for me, for example, you can put some acting in it too. If you like that, that's the great thing about YouTube. You can just, technically you can do what you want.
Yeah.
The question is if people want to watch everything.
Exactly. The question is it going to get views? Which, I mean, shouldn't always be the main thing that matters, of course. But if you're trying to make that your side hustle. So is that basically your side hustle, as like where other actors are waiters and waitresses, your thing is YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Last year, because with acting, at least at my stage, it's not that, like if you're a super successful actor or something, then maybe it changes. But even friends of mine who are, when you see their resume, you'd be like, oh, damn, this guy. Well, I always joke with a friend of mine with this German expression, der ist durch. Der ist durch, Alter. I don't know if you know that one, you know? Yeah. Like, that guy made it, basically, he made it, you know?
Yep.
When you see their resume, you're like, oh, he made it. But unless you're like The Rock or DiCaprio or something, there's still struggle before, even if you've seen them on big shows as series regulars. It's never guaranteed. The next job is never guaranteed. And at my stage, which is even before that, there might be a year where you make a few thousand dollars maybe with acting, and then the next year, this year was good so far, for example, until now probably not anymore, but you're like, oh, okay, now I can basically afford all my expenses through acting, but yeah, so that's why YouTube is good, because you can work however much, you know, you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super interesting. I actually see a lot of parallel. So I work in sales, in tech sales, and I see a lot of parallels between that. I mean, you have your ups and your downs. Of course, you have your base salary when you're a salesperson that you can live off of. But I mean, you're basically a salesperson for yourself and having to put yourself out there. And if someone wants to buy, wonderful. And then you get your money. And I haven't thought about acting that way before, but I definitely see a parallel there.
Well, it's great that you say that, because that's very true. And I think that's a big mistake of a lot of actors who, you know, are at the beginning, that they don't realize how big the business aspect is. You know, as an artist, people don't want to talk about business. But you have to sell yourself. You have to know what your brand is, especially if you are a nobody, basically. You have to know how you fit in, because everyone fits in somehow. There's so many productions, so many type of characters, but you have to know what you are in that world and what you're trying to sell. So that's exactly just like you said. Yeah.
Super interesting. And yeah, I could go down a bunny hole there, but or a rabbit hole, but
a bunny hole. Josh losing his English.
it's horrible. It's really bad now that I've started working again. Making calls in German all day long and then having to do this. It's a interesting experience. But
okay, so there is the reverse effect too.
Yes, like exactly.
Losing our German, you lose your English. Okay.
And then you can't speak either language well anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's horrible. But I wanted to ask you, so you've focused on LA as far as your acting career is concerned. And I know that you've done some, like you said, opera, and you studied in Hamburg as far as formal training is concerned for acting, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have much of an acting career in Germany, or was it just opera that you were focused on?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it career at all. So I was still studying also in opera, and I started studying and acting a little bit in Germany, and I did like, you know, Theater AG, in school, just a theater group, which is like the lowest amateur level possible, you know,
but
fun. It's great. Any kid who's listening, who wants to be an actor or actress, I think it's a great way to start, just to get over the fear of being on stage in front of people. Also, anyone who doesn't want to become an actor, I feel like it helped me so much in general with everything, presentations in school and et cetera. Anyway, different thing. So that's how I started. And then I did like a bunch of like short films, mostly action based, because I already was doing like martial arts stuff, but not basically nothing in Germany. Yeah.
Okay.
Like zero.
That's crazy. And then you decided to basically follow that big Hollywood dream, or how can I picture that?
Yeah, I already had a few friends who did acting, and so I saw how hard it is in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's super hard. I mean, it's a very small circle. Now it's getting a little better with Netflix, etc. Like bigger, more productions are coming to Europe or are in Europe in general already. But I saw how hard it is in Germany to get anything, and I didn't really like the stuff that was produced, at least for the most part in Germany, for German TV, you know, the standard TV shows.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, like Vorabend, Filme,
you know, like
Serien,
soaps, Krimiserien, etc. It's not really my thing. And also the style of acting that is very theatrical, theatralisch, very over the top, very big and very unnatural in my view.
I agree so much. I've always wondered who writes those dialogues in German movies. I don't understand. They're so unnatural.
Yeah, it's like I would call your name, like every sentence I say your name, basically, who I'm talking to. Yeah, it makes no sense, the way people talk with each other.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, sorry, but, I also just interrupted you, but I agree.
No, don't worry. But that's, I mean, in the end, whatever people want to watch, they can watch, but
of course
it wasn't
your thing, though.
Yeah, definitely not. And then I know there was this good expression. What was it with a small fish in a
big it's better to be a big fish in a small pond rather than I've forgotten it
better
too.
Better be a big fish in a small pond than a small fish,
in a big pond.
Big pond, something like that.
Something along those lines.
But at that point, I already did like a summer in 2013 here in LA. I did like a summer school, like a few weeks, just to see if I like it before I move here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At that point, it wasn't even a big idea that I moved here. I just wanted to see it. And then I saw how people act, like how the acting style is here, even in school, like where people start and mm-hmm. how stuff is taught. And it was so different. And I was like, yeah, okay, now that I saw this, basically, now that I saw the big pond, I, you know, can't go back to the small pond, basically.
Yeah.
And then might as well try here if it's already hard in Germany. So whatever.
So then give us some insight. What is it really like trying to make it in Hollywood?
It's rough for sure. It's,
I mean, that's how I would picture it. Like, I feel like when I know nothing about it really. So like if I think about that, I just think of, as I said, like actresses that are waitresses at night, and then they try to do auditions throughout the day and they try to mm-hmm. make it, but they're not really getting anywhere. Is that kind of what it's been like for you?
That's basically most people, yeah. When I came here, I couldn't even work, you know. I came here on a student
because
visa.
Of like,
so. That was going to be my question is, we can talk about it later, but I want to know how your whole visa experience has been.
Well, that's a whole another thing. But I feel that also, or I see that in friends of mine, obviously, you know, I don't know, you always meet a lot of immigrants, especially in Los Angeles, or former immigrants who are now citizens, etc., but have a similar story. And it's often the same thing. And you see that a lot of people who come here, maybe especially in this career, they have this, there's like a drive to survive that is even stronger, because if you fail, you're gone, basically. Your family doesn't live here. You can't just mm-hmm. like move home. If you move mm-hmm. back home, you're moving out of the country, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's always even more of a drive, I think, which you really need to survive and to mentally survive this career, because it's just such an up and down. And the ups are always so amazing. Like it's you're on set or something for the first time, and there's like someone you've been watching on TV for 20 years ago already, and wow, now you're next to them, and then next day you're not on set anymore for months or mm-hmm. for years. So maybe it takes years for the next job, and then you're like, oh, I made it. Nope, you know. So, but that's not even the start. That's like that's already far along that you even get on a set and get to act. But the money aspect for sure is a big thing, because in the beginning you don't make money. You pay. The first level of acting, I think, is you basically pay for your career.
Maybe you could talk us through like getting your first job and what that looked like. And I think that might help explain it as well.
Yeah. So, it starts basically that you somewhat go to school. You don't have to do like a full-time program. Like a 5 days a week, but an acting school in LA, super expensive. Then you have no material of your acting, probably, because you've never been in front of a camera. First, you need headshots, super expensive. Headshot business is a big scam, in my opinion. Like they charge $1,000 for like basic portrait pictures, basically. So headshots, different classes that you have to take. than maybe demo reel scenes that you have to produce yourself, which can be thousands of dollars, or you pay someone to, you know, make a short film for yourself so you can show your face. And so all these things is basically how you pay for your career and while you not get any money. If you're lucky, which in my case, I never had to pay for any scenes or something. While I was in school, I got to do some student films.
Okay.
And I was really leaning hard into the, you know, German character thing, especially film universities. They love World War II movies. So
yep. The U.S. in general.
And the U.S. in general, for some reason, it never gets old, which was good for me at the beginning. And I was like, do I want to do that? You know, be the German who just plays Nazis or whatever. But it was a great way to get something. To just do something. And I was lucky with the production, even though it was a student film, it was really well done. The character wasn't just like, I'm the bad Nazi guy, you know? But it was actually like with depth and like a real good character. So it was great for a reel. Then blah, 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 you do short films, you get your reel scenes, you get your first reel, you can show what you can do. After I finished school, I got my first like OPT work visa thing.
Which so you were on the year. same visa as me, basically, like the F1 student visa and then the optional practical training extension where you are allowed to work. Okay.
The problem is like film studios and all these like bigger employers, they have no idea what that is. And they're like, no, don't care. Mm. That doesn't look legit. They're in general very, they don't like visas.
Yeah.
But I got lucky with one very fast after I graduated. I found a voiceover agent who only basically took me on, which is because it was a good agency and I had zero credits because I speak German. And because I do like audio stuff, I was able to just make my own reel with like a bunch of character voices and stuff. So they took me on and I got an audition for Call of Duty, the video game.
Okay. Wait, for the German version?
No, for the international version. But it was Call of Duty World War II. Of course. So, there's always a lot of German characters in any installment, I think. And I booked that, which I was like, damn, what, really? I was so surprised. And they, because it was the, you know, they needed a lot of German people. So they were like, okay, I guess we need this guy, you know. So they were okay with their OPT. And they got me SAG eligible. SAG is the Screen Actors Guild. Which you may have heard of.
I watched your video about it, but...
Also, but they're the SAG Awards every year too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so the entertainment industry in Hollywood, I don't know, but I always hear is like one of the most unionized industries in the US, which is surprising. Because in Germany, for example, there's like no unions at all, even though Germany loves unions, as far as I know. Yeah. There's like zero unions in entertainment space at all.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. I don't want to. Maybe there is in some field, but not for actors. Not really. So Screen Actors Guild, you have to be in it if you want to really have a career as an actor, because all the big projects, TV shows, films, they all go through the unions.
Yeah.
The SAG and the Writers Guild, which is on strike right now, and the Producers Guild, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to join. And it used to be very hard to join. Then there was a loophole. I don't know how it is right now, but you have to basically be cast as a principal character in a bigger thing that is SAG, and then you become eligible. And that might take a long time. And for me, I was lucky. It was like very quickly through that video game, basically. That was basically it for the first year. But then also the O-1 visa came. The artist visa, and I would not have gotten it probably without that job, because I haven't done much, like a few short films, maybe it won a festival here and there, but then that was the next thing. And
How does that visa work? How do you apply for it, or when are you eligible?
Well, anyone can apply at any time, but you basically, because it's called
Isn't it like exceptional of skills or something?
Yeah, it has a very funny name of like alien of extraordinary ability or something. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a TV show.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to prove somehow that you have some extraordinary ability? You know, it's not just for artists. I think it's even for like medical profession, etc. So you have to prove somehow that you're worthy of that visa, but how do you do that? You know, like, you're not sending in a video where you're like juggling and stuff. You have to like on paper show why you would qualify for it. You work with basically what your credits are, and maybe you earned a lot of money with a certain job, and that you have to somehow show that you're in the top whatever percent of your field, which nobody ever is who gets an O1 visa. So you need a good lawyer who makes it look like you are. I mean, I'm sure the immigration people know that game. And then you need like letters of recommendation and all that stuff. But I've seen people who were actually really, you know, far in their career and they didn't get the visa. And I saw people who had never stood in front of a camera and got the visa. So it's very strange.
Not a fair system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I actually have a family friend too. A friend of my dad's is a musician in LA. He's from Germany and he's over there as a producer. And he's on that visa too, I think.
Yeah.
And I know he talked about how important it was to work with a lawyer. And I was like, oh, really? I've never had to really hire an immigration lawyer, even though I've also gone through some tricky parts there. But I think for the other like student visa and OPT and I won the green card lottery and all of that stuff, at least it was straightforward enough in terms of like what the requirements were.
Yeah. And then 2018, you know, you get an agent or I got a manager. I mean, if you don't know someone, you just send out emails to 200 managers and agents and see if someone responds.
Hi, please manage me.
Like I said, it's sales.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you put your little sales pitch, basically. Yeah. I'm this and this, and I've done this and this, and I had barely done anything. So you'll see, hopefully now someone needs a European guy or something. And then, yeah, you get your first auditions. At that point, I think I actually started YouTube, but I wasn't making any money or anything with it. I got lucky that I got a head start in YouTube because my friend Uwe, I don't know if you know him, is like this YouTuber, the German YouTuber. His name is Flying Uwe. Is like one of the first YouTubers in Germany, like martial arts. And he used to do martial arts and fitness stuff. Now he has like his own fitness brands and stuff.
I don't know him, but I'm going to have to check him out.
Yeah, it's like a bald guy. Pretty.
I just looked him up. Yeah, I don't recognize him. But.
Yeah, so he was like one of the first YouTubers in Germany. But he's been a longtime friend of mine from sports and stuff. He came here to LA and he was vlogging and stuff. That was like at the peak of his views and everything. So just because I was in his videos, people followed my YouTube channel, even though there was nothing on it, basically.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I saw what he was doing, and that's actually, he inspired me basically to start, especially as an actor. And on an O1 visa, you can only work in entertainment, basically.
Yeah, like, all the fun restrictions.
I have to do something, you know. And I was like, oh, that's cool, maybe I'll give it a try. And then I basically had my first 15,000 subscribers just from that, basically.
That's so cool.
The problem is most of them were only on my channel to see him. So that's a problem if you collaborate with someone really big. It does not have to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that number stayed flat for the next 3 years anyway.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But also, which also because of I wasn't consistent or anything in the first 3 years. I was
what
just
type of videos
making
that
a video.
Did you make at the time? Was it the same type that you make now?
Yeah, I wasn't really doing like our thing, basically, that you do as well. I mean, kind of the reverse side, the, you know, cultural differences, these kind of things. I wasn't doing much of that. I was doing mostly vlogging.
Okay.
But like all kinds of random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And then the topic was completely, I didn't really know how YouTube works either, in the sense of, you know, that you kind of maybe need something specific and maybe you have to focus on a specific lane to, so the algorithm knows what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know? So it was like about fitness on one day and then martial arts on the next. And then
just like in your personal life, exactly. Kind of all over the place.
Yeah, like then a diary.
Cool beach or something on the next one. It's like made no sense, you know, for YouTube at least. Yeah, so that's how I started YouTube. But that was really like just a fun thing on the side to keep me sane, basically, when I have really nothing else going on. Yeah, but, you know, you have your first auditions as an actor, but you never book anything, basically. It takes forever. You don't get that many auditions. I know what people think, how many auditions people get. What do you think? How many castings do you get as a... In the
like
start.
In what time frame?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, what
time frame? Each week or each month or...
I would say one a month.
If it's something legit, like it depends, because like you could basically, as someone who hasn't started an acting career or anything, you could just, you know, sign up on these websites, LA Casting and Actors Access, for example. Mm-hmm. Those are two like... online portale, what is it, portale?
Forums or like
platforms?
It's like casting websites.
Yeah.
You have your profile there. Platform. You can upload some media of yourself and you can apply by yourself without an agent or anything on projects. Mm-hmm. But those are all, you know, independent films, short films, maybe a commercial here and there, even background work, independent films. Yeah, so student films, smaller stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is great in the beginning if you book something like that, because then you might get good material out of it. So that's what I did in the beginning too for years. I don't want to be rude and say I don't count them, but because they are that's work too, and that's very important, especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But let's just say like bigger auditions for bigger projects, actual TV shows and stuff, you maybe get like 3 a year or something.
Okay.
In the beginning, if you get one at all, I mean, you're lucky if you get one.
That's just the audition.
Has your YouTube channel ever helped you get an audition, or were you ever able to showcase some of your videos or something like that?
No.
There's no interference there.
No. Okay. I had hoped once it got bigger, it would help it's somehow, but not really.
No.
Well, the only thing, it's a... If you're somewhere and you meet a new person, it's an interesting topic to talk about.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Yeah.
As far as networking is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But maybe also because it's in German, my
it's
channel.
True, yeah.
True. Mm-hmm.
Might not reach the right people.
Maybe a question related to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're having this conversation in English and you don't really have a strong accent in English. Did you ever take... any like accent reduction courses or how has that been a part of your acting career? Like having an accent, or do you feel confined to certain roles that are stereotypes, like for Germans, kind of that general topic?
Yeah. Or like, will you sometimes not get cast because of the accent?
Yes and yes and yes and yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
lots of questions at once, sorry.
While I was in acting school, especially in the beginning, and one of my friends who was kind of my role model in the beginning, because his name is Falk Henschel. He's a German actor, but he's only playing US roles. He was like a superhero and stuff on the CW shows and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I got to know him through another friend, and he stopped speaking German for like 3-4 years in the beginning.
Oh, wow.
To get
like
rid of his
never,
accent.
Never spoke German at
even
all?
Even with his parents and his brother and, yep. He was like hardcore.
Wow.
And you would never know that he's German when you talk to him now.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really do that. But so I took classes in school and even on the side with an accent coach. The accent itself, because there's always, I feel like there is a personality that comes with an accent. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Like once you do like a French accent, suddenly you're like your behavior changes too. And I never really identified a lot with the American accent.
Okay.
So it never came really natural to me. It was... Even though I'd say probably because of singing, like language is more of something that I'm usually not terrible at, but the American accent was really hard for me. And if I get a script and I get to study it, it might be good enough and stuff. But in my everyday life, I've never had it perfect. Like never. Had
I, yeah, the I was. I was gonna say it's interesting because I watched some of your reels.
Yeah.
And there's a clear difference between the way that you're speaking now and the way that you speak in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably different when you can practice it, right? Like you have certain lines. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I did like a scene in Arabic before. You just have to memorize it, you know, and then you practice it over and over. And it's at some point it becomes like the small mistakes give you away too. You know, if you, even if your accent is like almost there, that every now and then there's suddenly there's a word. Like my favorite is opera, basically. In the beginning, I always said Oprah.
Okay.
Because you would think by the pronunciation, like when you learn English, it could be Oprah. Oprah.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's an O.
Yeah.
And, and there's a P following. And then it's opera. So people were always like, what do you mean, Oprah singer? What does Oprah have to
Oprah
do with
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, like these things give you away. And people can't really pinpoint your accent. They maybe can't hear that it's German, but it might be something from Europe, you know, like Scandinavian, Dutch, whatever. I mean, people here aren't always that educated in European accents anyway. So it's like, oh yeah, whatever. Sorry, sometimes, I mean, people who have been listening to this, they've seen already. Sometimes I go off topic.
You're not the only one.
That's the whole podcast, basically.
What is a topic?
Anyway, so in the beginning, I really wanted to be like, okay, I want to be able to do all roles. I want to do American roles, etc. At some point, I realized how much of an advantage I have to be from somewhere else, to have a different accent, to be able to speak another language fluently, even like be educated a little bit in French. And if the pronunciation is somewhat good, it's good enough for Hollywood and et cetera, you know? Unfortunately. But in the beginning, I was like, okay, I'm gonna just to get some credits, basically, to get some stuff on my resume, to work on a, maybe on a, my first bigger thing. I'm gonna try and focus on like these German roles. It's not what I want to do forever, but maybe it's like a way in. And then I don't want to say gave up on really learning the accent. It's always like something you continuously try to practice and stuff. But I focused more on other accents, like European accents, because I've had situations in auditions you don't want to. I mean, I was in an audition where I had to speak Arabic and Russian.
Okay.
One line in Arabic, one line in Russian. Because it was like some ISIS soldier from Russia, basically, for a big TV show that's been aired forever and where you would expect, oh, they want it authentic, you know? But I have friends from both countries. I learned the lines. It was just two, so it was easy to memorize two lines, you know, in any language. And I prepared them, and I come in, and the casting director has my resume in his hand. He's like, okay, so you're from Germany. You have, you probably speak a lot of languages, right? It's like, yeah, kind of just German and English and some French. And it's like, oh, okay, just do German and French. It's fine. It's like,
for a role that's supposed to be Arabic and Russian.
Yeah, were they going to change the character then or what?
No, I think for the audition it was like, just do any other language.
It's so random.
It's like, there were so many situations like that. There was like a casting description of a character once where it was like, Norwegian guy with a very thick accent. Very funny guy from Norway. Think Terminator.
What?
Sure.
Wrong country.
It's like, sure.
So okay. Embarrassing.
It's like,
I'm not surprised
though. There are hundreds of situations like that. So I was like, at some point, and then you watch TV shows, and obviously the Germans are often not German.
Yeah, I have like a few videos about that. I don't know if you've seen those. Yeah, where we acted.
React to Germans.
The only ones, like Tarantino always gets it pretty accurate.
You're right.
Most other Hollywood productions and other just big TV productions or whatever don't really care at all.
Close enough.
100%. I mean, Tarantino even had the joke about it, basically, in Inglourious Basterds, where Michael Fassbender, right? Where he's
And that one was so accurate. It's so accurate, too, because it is really, his accent is so, so close, but then you can, like, kind of hear it. Like, it's perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is impressive about you, that your German accent is so good. I don't know. Do people know how good you speak German? How well you speak German? Do you speak
German? I think
speak
on the
German
podcast,
here now
yeah.
And
then? Yeah. Yeah.
Very incredible. Because just the reverse side of it, I feel like for Americans to learn German, for Germans to learn the American accent, it's just very far apart from pronunciation and from flow, just from the style. So it's always very impressive to me. You're basically the second person I ever met who speaks German that well.
Yeah. Now Americans make fun of me though that I enunciate too much.
Like when you speak English.
Yeah, when I speak English.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How long did you study German to be?
How long did I started learning German in 10th grade. Okay. And yeah, then I continued with it throughout the rest of high school, and then in college, it's weird. I'm adjusting the way that I'm speaking because I never say in college anymore. I always say at university.
Right.
But you guys are living in the U.S., so yes, in college, I studied German studies as well. But what year was I in Philly when we met?
2016.
I mean, at that point, yeah. So
that
was
like 1 year out of
at that point. Yeah.
1 year out of high school, right? Like you graduated 2016.
Exactly. And I think I spoke pretty much generally the same as I do now.
Dude, in my memory, yes. But I mean, you also thought that I spoke the same as I do now. So like maybe my memory is a little bit blurred there. But when I met you, yeah, you had no accent when you spoke German. And so I guess at that point you had been learning it for 3-4 years, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't realize I'm American, at least at first, or they think I'm German, especially when the conversations are short. Mm. I mean, the more I speak, the more mistakes I make, or like you were talking about, those little telltale signs that will give me away. I recently had an occasion with my boss. I was doing, we do like acting, like a lot of role playing in sales to practice your pitches, go through first customer meetings, for example. And I kept mispronouncing the German word for anomaly, because in English we make a schwa out of anomaly. And I wasn't sure in German if it's written with an A or an O. So I kept calling it an anomaly. And it's an anomaly. Yeah. And he kept laughing the entire time.
One of the things that always gave you away, Josh, was the way you use the word eigentlich. You always use the German word eigentlich the same way that you use actually in English, which isn't always quite the same in German. And then another one that I can think of is just sometimes like your endings at the beginning, word endings. One that specifically comes to mind is when you said the female version of friend is Freundin. I think you also said it for Bekannte or something like that. But Freundin, you sometimes said Freunden instead of Freundin. The tiny little things that only if those words would come up, you would even hear it. But most of the time, I mean, I've spent so much time with Josh around Germans, and people will be like, so where are you from? Expecting him to say a German town. And then he's like, oh, I'm from the U.S. And then they're like, oh, you mean like a military family or something like that? Or your parents are from the U.S., but you grew up in Germany. And then he always had to explain, no, like I'm actually from the U.S., born and raised. My parents do not speak German whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. But I think like you were saying, though, being musical also is a huge, huge advantage when it comes to trying to learn an accent or master it.
Yeah, because people always just focus on the different vowels and the different consonants and the different sounds, but not on the melody and the rhythm. Because German is very much just like da 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 da, to you know, exaggerated. Yeah. And American is like da 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 da. It's like rock, pebble, pebble, pebble. So it's like, yeah.
What's the official term for that? Cadence? Or Josh, what's the...
The cadence of a language,
Sentence melody, something like that.
So then I focused a lot on European accents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I was also growing the beard. I didn't have a beard for the most time. I mean, now I've had it for like 3 or 4 years, but just to be like, okay, I can't play Nazi roles anymore, just visually, you know? Basically, because I can't do World War II because no one had a beard that long. So I was like, okay, I want to be a little more European ambiguous, basically, as some guy from somewhere, basically. And since I do action, there's a lot of bad guys who are from Europe in action films.
Okay, so. That makes sense. All right, so that's your specialty now.
Yeah, pretty much it's something I really focus on. But I also really like it because it always comes with... I mean, the characters I've done so far are mostly smaller. It's like smaller roles in the bigger projects that I've done. But so far, there are, I just realized that a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, well, they're actually very different, at least, from each other. You know, it's mm-hmm. like the newest thing. I was like a Norwegian chef, hipster guy in a comedy. And then in the other one, I was like a Belarusian gangster.
Okay.
Like a hired killer, basically. And then in the first big thing I did, actually, I completely skipped that. That's a fun story, actually. So the first big thing I had done, I was like a German officer in there. I was also, I had to shave my beard for that. That was very sad. I just grew it out for the first time.
Oh,
very sad moment.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so that was 2018, because that's what I wanted to say was I auditioned so much and I never booked anything. And then my first big job next to Jessica Chastain was like now an Oscar winner and stuff, you know?
So cool.
Like a scene with her and then I get killed by her.
What an honor.
As always, you know. I got through Facebook, basically.
You got it through Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to tell that story.
Without auditioning.
Really?
What show or movie are we talking about here?
It's called Ava.
Okay.
Or in German, Code Ava, Trained to Kill.
Oh, of course. Give it a different English title.
Fun story about that. Just to go off topic once more. You made that video. I already knew your channel,
mm-hmm.
but then I was like, okay, what other videos has she done? It was so funny. I was in San Diego 3 years ago, or two or three years ago. You will know because you uploaded that video at that day, one day later. So I was in San Diego with Leben USA. Maybe mm-hmm. you've seen his channel before.
Yeah.
For the first time I met him, we were talking about YouTube. What's the next video? He's like, oh, I have a list of 100 videos that I'm planning. I was like, great. I don't, but I was like, oh, my next video is going to be about movie titles in German and how funny they are translated. And I was like, I had it written down and everything. And then I see, like, literally the next morning you uploaded that video. I was like,
really?
Shit, now I can't do it for a while. I was like, otherwise it looks like I stole that video.
I mean,
was so funny. It was really, I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't matter. I'm sure there would have been other movie titles in the video.
I mean, that, yes, but also we have probably many, many videos where we have pretty talk about this same thing.
Yeah, of course.
But
it's just part of the
niche.
Different.
It's always different if you talk about something. And first of all, it's in a different language, but it was just a funny coincidence. I was like, okay, maybe I have to look at her channel a little bit, see if she's... So you just don't want to look like, even if it's not copied, you just don't want to have people think that, oh, you just copy the video of other people, you know? So I was like, I still haven't done that video, but now I probably can.
Now you can. It's probably been like, what did you say? I don't even remember how long ago, but it must have been at least,
I think it was two or three years ago. Yeah.
3 years ago is when I kind of started to do this full time. And that's when I published more videos. So,
yeah. And you even had a sketch in the beginning. I remember that because I had a similar sketch in the beginning. It was so funny. I was
really?
Like, damn, that's exactly how I planned the video.
Great minds think alike.
Exactly. Like, it's not like those topics are super original. Like, we've all talked about these things before. I personally don't mind it at all when people have the same topics because, of course, that happens. Sometimes other people in the niche have similar videos as mine, like, shortly after me. And honestly, I don't even care if they got inspired by mine or if they had it on their list anyway. I understand the thing, like, when you have it on your list already and then someone else does it first, it annoys you. I've had that feeling too, where like, yeah, that's been on my list for so long and now the other person did it first.
Yeah.
But like, I really don't mind that. I don't even watch that much in our niche because I'm so
filled up
with my own stuff that like, I watch YouTube videos from completely other like niches and genres. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I want to talk at some point more about your video and kind of your experiences in the US as far mm-hmm. as just culture shocks and those type of things. But let's finish the story first about how you
Code
got this
Ava.
Big job.
Code Ava.
Trained to Kill. Well, it's just Ava in original. It's on Netflix in the US and somewhere in Germany, also on Amazon Prime or Netflix. It's always so weird. It's like on different platforms. But anyway, so... I saw a Facebook post. They are like stunt groups with like stunt people and Some of them you can just join. Some of them are super exclusive. You need like 25, 30 recommendations from other people to even join. And I'm not in that group because I wouldn't consider myself like a stuntman. Sure, I do some stunts, fight scene stuff. But just some of my friends, you know, they burn themselves alive and jump from a 5-story building. I would never do that. It's like insane. It's so incredible. So my friend was in it. He sent me this Facebook post looking for German-speaking actor who can do stunts for a project. I was like, okay, cool. I'll write an email, send my stuff. Didn't hear anything for weeks. Then I was in Oregon visiting my friend Falk, who moved to Oregon, and get this call. I was like, oh yeah, saw your email. If you are still available, we'll shoot it next month. I was like, okay, what? I didn't audition or anything. It was like a character with lines and stuff. It wasn't just like a one stunt and that's it or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's going on? And then, you know, production had some issues with the scheduling and stuff, so it was like pushed a little bit, but it happened at some point, and that was the biggest job I've ever done. I mean, not the film, but Jessica Chastain, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For something else. But yeah, so that was crazy. I got 2 jobs from Facebook so far.
Wow.
From the group. Without auditioning.
It's
basically
a good connection to have.
It's worth keeping it around for now.
Yeah. So for me and everyone else who's listening who want to stalk your roles, besides Ava, where else can we find you? What other like bigger projects have you been a part of?
So far, I mean, there was Call of Duty and Battlefield as video games.
I'm going to have to tell my boyfriend about that. Ben plays Call of Duty like almost every day.
Awesome, yeah. Well, it's in Call of Duty World War II, so it's like came out 2017 or something.
Okay.
16. Yeah, Ava, American Horror Story is in season 10, episode 4, briefly.
Okay.
For like, I'm a German tourist and then I get eaten by a zombie. yeah, classic spoiler alert. But,
you should add to your like things to be concerned about as a German coming to visit the US.
I should make a video about it. You might get eaten by a zombie. Then I did The Rookie, Feds. That's like a spin-off of The Rookie, is a TV show. It's like this cop show.
Okay.
Well, that's a more FBI show with Niecy Nash. Then I did FBI and FBI Most Wanted. Those are 2 crime shows.
I think I've heard about that.
This year, which was awesome because it was shooting in Rome and in New York. So it was like the real.
I did see that you filmed vlogs from Rome, right?
For
filming?
Yeah, okay. That was great to do. I was like, okay, I have some downtime. I can do some YouTube videos here too. 2 birds
That's
with
so cool.
one stone.
Yeah.
Platonic on Apple TV right now with Seth Rogen.
Okay.
That's on there right now. And then the other stuff is like more independent films. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the FBI thing was really cool because they have like their whole FBI universe with like multiple TV shows and then the crossover. Mm-hmm. So I was like in both shows as the same character. And that was a great experience also with an amazing actor whose career I really like, Mark Evanier. You might not know the name, but you've seen him 100% because that guy has been in 150 projects and since Schindler's List, you know.
Okay.
And he's just very amazing, amazing guy, speaks like 6 languages and, you know. It's like a career I really like because he has done so many different roles from all over the world, basically, for the last 40 years, you know? And you've seen him. It's like, you've seen him. You might recognize him on the street even, but he probably doesn't get harassed 24/7 like Brad Pitt or something.
It's
that sounds like a great
dream.
Career, you know?
Yeah.
And you can comfortably live, I assume, just from what I know, how things work from acting and even have a family and everything.
You have a really interesting video about how much you make as an actor in LA. To everyone who's interested in that, maybe I'll link that down below. I'm going to write that down right now. Link money video. Because I thought that was really interesting. I had no clue that it's actually structured like that.
Yeah,
we don't have to get too much into that for now.
Sorry.
I know, Josh, you wanted to talk a little
culture
bit more.
Shocks.
Yeah.
Well, no, yes, but I have two last questions on this topic before we move to culture shocks. I just want to know, what is your dream role and what is like your favorite or what actors do you look up to the most? Like you're an American actor and a German actor.
So, dream role. I do really love, that's also why I told myself I'm not going to shave until I get to play something like that. Fantasy is my fantasy and period stuff. Like,
okay.
Whether that's more in the Viking era or something like Lord of the Rings is my favorite trilogy or films in ever.
Mm-hmm. So, Game of Thrones. That kind of stuff.
Game of Thrones, that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't even say a specific character. I just would just love to work on a show like that. And whether that's some dwarf or something, probably more of a dwarf character or something with a red beard, you know, not necessarily an elf. You never know, but something like that would be amazing. But I also recently realized how much I love comedy. I don't know if you know The Office, or I love mockumentary, you know. You don't know The Office?
The Office, it sounds familiar.
Oh, wow.
Wait, Josh, you don't know the... Oh, I was like...
Come on, guys. Sarcasm. Get with it.
What is sarcasm?
Yeah, because every American loves The Office.
That, and I love Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's one of my favorite comedy shows. So something like that would be amazing. But I really... For me, they always used to be the distinction between a character actor and a leading man. You know, a leading man being Chris Hemsworth or all these, like... insanely good looking guys, like the typical hero. Henry Cavill, Brad Pitt, Chris Hemsworth, these like just like, you know, made by God, basically. Like just insanely good looking. Yeah. That's like the leading man, basically. And then there are character actors who play more of character roles. And I always loved that side more. I would rather play like the Joker than Superman. Or something, just from the type of character. Mm-hmm. So I really love these like crazy, that are very different from me, where you really have to find yourself somehow and a serial killer or something, because you always find something of yourself in anything, which is just humanity. So and that's like the interesting part for me. And actors I admire.
Yes,
I do like these kind of actors like Gary Oldman. Who are just like every time it's super different. Well, I liked Heath Ledger too, obviously, but my favorite actor of all time is Robin Williams. Just because he really nailed this like comedy, but also had like this depth to his characters, also in dramas and stuff. Where you just wanted to watch him, you know? It's amazing.
I was going to say Dead Poets Society and, why can't I think of the name now? No, exactly. No. With Matt Damon. Good Will Hunting. Two of my favorite movies. So I have a
Good Will Hunting poster right there. It's also one of my favorites for sure. Beautiful movie. And I love Christian Bale too, just because these actors who are like so different every time. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
He's done 9 projects in his life, or 10.
That's insane.
And he won like 2 or 3 Oscars. I don't remember.
It's a pretty good quote, pretty good rate.
He's maybe going a little too hardcore because he's like prepared 2 years for a role. You have to call me Mr. President if I play Lincoln. I was like, maybe a little too much for my taste, but if it works, you know, it's
exactly.
And on screen, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, those are some I really like.
And a German?
Nobody.
Well, I do like Christoph Waltz, for example, who's Austrian. Well, the problem is I don't really watch that much German stuff. So if it's a German, it's probably in Hollywood too. Mm-hmm. Christoph Waltz, I love... just brilliant in that type of character. Then it became, I think he got so popular with that type of character that people always wanted, hey, can you do this, guy from Inglourious Basterds? Can you, Hans Lander, can you do him again? Just in that setting, basically. I feel like that's how it went. So the characters became very similar at some point, but I think now he gets to do different stuff too. I mean, Michael Fassbender is German too, right?
Does it
count?
We'll let it count. Anyway, but no, it's super cool. So, super cool. Yeah.
Like Daniel Brühl.
Completely forgot. Daniel Brühl is great too. Yeah, I do like some stuff that he has done. Yeah.
The only other German in Hollywood that I can think of right now is Til Schweiger, who was
Matthias Schweighöfer is actually getting super big in Hollywood right now.
Yeah. When was that he was on Fallon even like 2 years ago or something? He was on Jimmy Fallon. All of Germany was like,
forgot about that.
Really, really worried that he was gonna like embarrass the whole country. I think everyone was like, "Oh gosh, is this gonna be Fremdschämen watching him on Jimmy Fallon?" I think he did okay.
Yeah, because I feel like he's really leaning into that German guy thing, you know, like hardcore. Because, I mean, he also has a super thick German accent. And he's even done, I saw like on Instagram, like someone shared, he's done these like German expressions or something. It's like, oh, that's our YouTube videos, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that too.
Great. Yeah, but when he does it, it's even better, I guess. he's getting pretty big. And then there are some people you might not have heard. I mean, that my friend Falk, for example, but he doesn't play German characters. And then I haven't talked to him yet, but he just became friends with one of my best friends. So I hope I meet him sometime. Is Daniel Bernhardt, who was in Bloodsport. And he plays a villain. He was like in John Wick and in Extraction 2 just now. It's like the Swiss guy.
Okay.
And he's been basically a huge action star for 30 years. It's like one of these, you've seen him in many, like basically in like the biggest action franchises. He's also a stunt coordinator and I mean, I hope I get to interview him at some point. He doesn't know yet, but I'll hope he will because he is just very inspirational. The guy is, I don't know, like late 50s, but better shape than, you know, most people when they're 20 and just still, you know, with the martial arts and everything. Yeah. And he's been doing that for decades. Anyway, that's someone in Hollywood too, who's from Germany or Switzerland.
We'll say Dach, from the Dach area.
Yeah. The is that what you call it?
Not in English, in sales. That's, yeah, I was going to say maybe it's a very business term, but
yeah, it's not just sales. You also use those terms in like publishing terms,
But yeah, maybe then jumping into the topic of the kind of you as a German living in the U.S., especially living in California and living in Los Angeles. When we talk about the U.S., oftentimes it's like, okay, like you have these microcosms of like culture that get a lot of exposure while outside of the U.S. So like New York or Los Angeles, I come from, and Feli now lives in a place that doesn't get as much exposure in the Midwest. But what would you say surprised you most about L.A. and about the Americans that you've met over time? What has surprised you?
Also, exactly what you said is something I really had to learn first, that, you know, America is not America and Americans aren't Americans. It's always so easy to say, oh yeah, Americans are like this, but I mean, Californians are probably, or LA itself is so different from even from Arizona. It's already a different world. When I meet people from Arizona, it's like so different. But the thing is about LA, you meet people from all over the states all the time. So a good thing that really surprised me is how open the people are here, at least. I don't know. Again, I can only speak about my experience here because I've only lived here. I've been to many places, but really lived only here. People just don't care how you dress, how you, like someone walks around in a Pokemon costume and no one looks at even, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. It's just some guy. It's just LA, you know, it's like some weird guy or whatever. Or just doesn't even really care that people are. Yeah, there's this, of course, this typical, especially in Southern California, I guess, people are super friendly. Mm-hmm. And it's not everyone, but yeah, you'll definitely notice that there is like this overly friendly thing, which in the beginning was a little weird for me, especially coming from Northern Germany, where it's the exact opposite. But I really came to like it because, you know, if you have a small interaction with a stranger, it doesn't have to be like a deep conversation every time. If it's just a nice hello and how are you and bye, it's great, you know, and people smile. And even if they don't really mean it, who cares, you know, at least it's friendly. So that was great. The traffic here was definitely a big shock, and how terrible some people drive. It was like, even in Hamburg, which is already not the best place for driving, They were like, oh, damn, it's crazy.
Yeah, A traffic is like next level.
Yeah. Although I have to say, Ohio just recently was declared as the most dangerous place to drive.
I think I read that. I think it's just because Ohio drivers suck.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yes, no, LA but traffic also, is crazy.
Yeah, LA traffic is just too many people here.
Yeah.
It's just,
and these, and like, people, what, 10 lane highways or how many lanes?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But people are also, yeah, I feel like I'm then also some people just don't know how to drive and at the same time drive selfish, which is like not a good combo. But yeah, some stuff that I always try to not be too negative, but I've definitely
You're allowed to on here.
some stuff I noticed, like this like lack of awareness what's happening around people.
What do you mean by that?
Like someone just walking on a hike, which is great about LA, like you can hike so many places, but taking a huge speaker, you know, and blasting music.
Being like inconsiderate.
In the middle, inconsiderate, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like there's this lack of awareness of I'm doing this, but I don't really care what's happening around me or if I might disturb someone. This like, especially when it comes to sound, where I'm like very, it's like a pet peeve, I guess, of mine, but... Yeah, that was like a surprise where like, damn, people really don't care about their surroundings or are just not aware of it. There's just the thought is not there. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like always overly careful. Of course, when we talk about LA, we have to talk about like, it's just for anyone who comes here, shock of like the social inequalities of like you see these mansions, these $100 million mansions that are like Reihenhäuser, you know, like here's one, here's one, here's one. It's like endless. We're like, how are there so many people with that much money? And then you drive in a different part of the town, 5 miles, 4 miles, and you have like the same, but with tents, you know? Yeah. So it's pretty crazy for sure in the beginning. And for me, I never get used to it. 100%. Mm. Of course, you have to, you're not going to constantly pay attention to it because at some time you get used to it in the sense of that it's there, but it's just, it will never stop being shocking for sure.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's definitely surprising though when you go to the US and you see that because it's something that, especially living here in Munich at least, I don't know how it is in most other German cities. Nowhere, I mean, I know that in most other German cities, it's nowhere close to your average city in the US.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, in terms of like the poverty and the homelessness that you see visibly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely something to answer the question that I posed to you. Yes, it's definitely something that's surprising.
Yeah.
I can understand it being surprising to you.
I have noticed, on the other hand, like the education about money in general is also not very. It's very interesting here with the credit system and stuff. That was a whole shock to me, like hearing a friend who like say, oh, I have 10 credit cards and I'm paying this off with this one. And then I pay this credit card off with this one. And then this with
it's
this. It's like, damn, okay. And everyone is in debt. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't even want to, I don't want to blame the people for being part of the system where you're kind of born into. You know, it's hard not to be part of it, whether that is because you have to get a credit score in these things or you want to go to college and it's freaking expensive or medical bills, etc., where it's like, oh damn, and I noticed, oh, I only have like $500 in my bank account, but technically I have more money than most of my friends. You know,
isn't there, I don't know if that's still the most recent number, but I think a few years ago it was at least like $400, where like the majority of Americans, so more than half of Americans, didn't have $400 in their bank account. It's probably still something around that, which is a pretty shocking thing for Germans because we love saving and we love security.
That was actually like a big help for me, like being, I mean, obviously also not all Germans learn that or whatever, but I feel like it is a common thing for...
It's a little bit more in our DNA,
I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Being a little stingy, but also in a good way.
Yeah.
Like being saving. So that was incredibly important for me to survive here.
Yeah.
If I can barely make money, but can barely work, somehow have to, you know, jeden Pfennig zweimal umdrehen or something. Flip every penny twice.
What would we say? We would count every dollar? I don't know. We have
count every dollar? Make every dollar count? I don't know.
Something
like that. So that was very helpful to be like, you know, like looking for the coupons and looking what's on sale and only buying that. And saving
and also
here
only
and
buying what you need. That's what my experience was a little bit at first when I moved here, how like even a lot of these college kids, just from I think, and this is generalizing a lot, of course, but just because they grew up in this like capitalist system where people just always buy things to enjoy life to full extent, even if they can't afford it. Seeing all these college kids even thinking that this is something that they need in life, whether that be going to the bars three times a night instead of like pre-gaming for cheap at home and then only having one drink at the bar, they, you know, they would buy all five drinks at the bar. And I noticed how when I first came here, I was like, oh wow, this is a different mentality, because I grew up especially with like friends who went to university at the time or during high school. It's just ingrained that you try to save money automatically and you don't feel like you need all these things. And then I came here and I felt like people just feel like they need things that they really don't need. Where like in Germany, I feel like that's, people wouldn't consider that a necessity. And then here some people, you know, would even say things like, oh, but what am I supposed to do? Not go out? Am I supposed to not go see this movie? Am I like, what do you mean? Yes. What do you want from me?
This is exactly it.
And then it's too easy, you know, with the credit card.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Yeah.
And for me, on the flip side, when I moved to Germany, I was surprised like how well people know how to cook themselves at home, and how how people don't like eat out as often at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, you still go out obviously for nice meals every once in a while, but like just like the focus on it, it's a completely different mentality. You're right.
Yeah. Even if you're not a person that saves the most money or cares about that the most, I think if you grow up in Germany with that mentality around it, you just automatically bring some of it with you. I think you just automatically think about things twice a little bit more. Or
economical or thrifty.
Thrifty, yeah. Thrifty. Or compare prices and stuff like that. I still do that to this day where like some, you know, my American boyfriend or American friends or his family will just like go ahead and buy the first thing that they'll find. I'll stand there and look on the internet if I can find it cheaper anywhere.
Forever.
Yeah.
Actually, the true word is frugal.
Frugal.
That's probably the word you learned.
Frugal is a good one now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, for sure. Do you feel like, or in what ways have you changed, would you say, since living in the US?
That's like also, I've been thinking about that, because I also was like, maybe it's a good topic for a video. So I was like actively thinking about that. And the biggest issue with that is, well, I'm 32 now. When I moved here, I was 23. I was living at home still.
Yeah.
So that was just like a lot that I'm not sure if it has to do with the US or living here or just, you know, basically growing up and like living in a different place. Maybe it would have been the same if I moved to Berlin, but I mean, it's not that far away. So, but I think definitely though, and here again, that might have been also YouTube that helped me with that, but I've never really been someone, I always had like problems with like talking to a stranger. Even asking for directions, I'm like, I'm just going to find it myself. I don't want to like bother someone or, you know, these things. Like being open to strangers in that sense of like, I mean, I've not that I've been like discriminatory before, but just being open to be available to talk and like not be afraid of that or timid or something. I feel like that's way more American to just like, hey, nice shirt, you know? Yeah. I love your shirt. I love your I love your shoes. Just like super random, like these like compliments or being able to go to someone and ask for for directions or whatever it may be, you know? Like that, I think that changed here. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like the same with the like friendliness. I would say I was friendly before, but in like conversations with strangers and just being like trying to be positive in that and like, you know, in a short interaction and stuff. And I think I've definitely become more patient, but that might have just been also part of the acting career and stuff. And
or maybe the laid back mentality.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't, like for myself, because I agree with pretty much everything you've said so far for myself. I could see that in myself as well. Patience for myself, I don't think that's gotten any better. So it might be your acting career.
But people still realize that I definitely have some stuff where I'm still, oh yeah, German, you know.
Like yeah, make it more efficient.
I don't know. It's just the way I talk, I guess, sometimes, that it's not always like super over the top emotionally or something.
You're very understated. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the dry humor, probably. Mm. The very dry humor. I guess sarcasm, too, which we... I guess I can't see it in others, but that and yeah, having a little bit more of a realistic approach to things, I guess, mm-hmm. or more of a not necessarily negative outlook to everything. That's like I feel like a big mindset difference here, where everything is, which I love about being here, but like the more positive outlook on things. And not choosing the negative outlook on things.
Yeah.
Even if it's sometimes naive, but I still like that. Everything is, you know, going to be all right. And mm-hmm. if you have a crazy idea for a business, or if you want to, you say, tell someone, oh yeah, I'm an actor. It's not like, oh, das ist aber kein richtiger Job. Was soll das denn? How are you? That's not a real job. Like, only 1 out of 10 million people might make money with that. Like, the first thing you go to, instead of like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, yeah, you're trying to achieve your dreams. That's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that changed in me too a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still consider myself more realistic, but definitely trying to have more of a positive outlook.
Yeah. That's so funny. Everything you just said, except for the patience, I 100% agree with.
Yeah.
And I also like that my mindset has changed in that regard, because why always focus on the negative? Why worry about things that haven't even happened yet? Might as well just believe in the positive. And like, same thing with, I'm not an actress, which I feel like that would even maybe be crazier. I don't know, maybe people in Germany judge social media even more than that, but like, starting a YouTube channel, I've said this a few times on this podcast, but I probably wouldn't have done it in Germany because I would have known what people would have said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, why aren't you embarrassed? You should try to do this a little bit more. I didn't really like your video that much. I mean, I just know that people would have talked about it. And I'm sure they do, but I don't care because I'm here.
It's interesting, though. All of the points that you guys were making are all of the things that I miss about the U.S. I remember a previous job that I had here in Germany. I would get so frustrated with the negativity in the office. I'm like, guys, do we always have to talk about the negative? Can't we just be like, okay, it is what it is, and we're going to make it the best out of it. Let's go for it. Yeah. And they would just drag me down, and I totally missed that about the U.S.
Yeah.
And then there was one thing that you mentioned, too, that stood out to me, made me think of some interactions I actually had today on the phone, where just being the positive influence and vibes in people's everyday lives. I mean, when you make cold calls, people aren't always the most happy to just speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
I make it a point at the end of every call to say, "Schönen Tag noch." And everyone is, I always hear it in their voices like, oh, wünsche ich Ihnen auch. And then they hang up real quick. They're like, they're so confused just by me wishing them a happy, like, have a nice rest of your day.
Yeah.
I've noticed that in German stores too, because I always, like, even if the cashier doesn't say it to me, I'm going to wish it to them. And then sometimes, like, it takes them a second to react and be like, yeah, you know. Because they're already, like, busy with the next person. They didn't even expect any conversation happening anymore.
It is funny that is what is considered a conversation still.
I mean, literally, it depends on the cashier, of course, but a lot of cashiers in Germany will literally just say hello, or some even say nothing and just start scanning your stuff and then tell you the price, and then that's it.
Which is great too, though.
Can be. If you don't want to talk to anyone, sure.
Well, sometimes, maybe that's also like a Californian thing. I'm like,
yeah, don't waste my time talking. So
just starts, it just looks at the item, starts telling me a story about the item. It's like, I'm just here to, like, it's nice being friendly, but I don't want to have a 20-minute conversation at the register right now.
I do agree about that, too. The other day, when Ben and I went to Aldi here, which is also a faster checkout. It's kind of similar to the pace of checkouts in Germany. And then right after, we went to Kroger. And at Kroger, it just took, I don't even know, 20 minutes, half an hour. I don't even remember. And most of it was just us, like, our stuff being scanned. It wasn't even that many people were in front of us.
Yeah. You guys would have hated me then as a cashier.
A cashier at Target, But we walked out of there, and I was like, oh, my God, I appreciate the ID checkout so much. That's where I definitely do not have patience. That's where I'm German. I want it to be efficient.
Yeah, it's a balance, you know. Some things are good, some things are better. Sometimes, you know.
It wasn't even just that they were chatty. It's also just the system.
Yeah, the speed.
Kroger,
sometimes.
It doesn't work, and then they have to scan everything three times, and then a barcode is, and then I'm just like, how is this not better yet? Like, other stores get this down. How have you not improved your checkout system? But anyways, that's the German in me right there.
Yeah, you'll never, of some stuff you'll never get rid of, for sure.
No.
And you shouldn't, because it's, you know, your personality.
Part of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, one thing that we haven't done yet is speak German.
Oh, yeah.
Do we, I know we've been going for a while, but Josh, did you have another question that maybe we could ask in German?
Yeah, we can do this one in German.
Last one, I would suggest.
Yeah. So, for the listeners, stick around. We'll kind of summarize at the end of the German segment. And if you're interested in knowing exactly what we said, check out the YouTube version where we will have subtitles for you.
And also on Spotify, you can see the video as well.
Also die Frage, die ich dir gerne stellen würde, ist, in welche Sprache, also ich weiß nicht, wie oft du dann wirklich tatsächlich auf Deutsch dann, sagt man dann, schauspielst? Ist das überhaupt ein Wort? Das
klingt
irgendwie komisch, ja.
Klingt komisch.
Aber welche Sprache ist eher dafür geeignet, deiner Meinung nach, Emotionen zu übertragen?
Hm.
Also kommt es auf einen Kontext an, auf eine bestimmte Szene? Wie schaut es aus? Also hast du eine Sprache, die du bevorzugst?
Also für Schauspiel bevorzuge ich tatsächlich Englisch. Einfach, weil ich sehr daran gewöhnt bin auch. Aber also das Problem ist so ein bisschen, was man da noch sieht, finde ich, wenn deutsche Sachen geschrieben sind. Die deutsche Sprache ist, finde ich, oder was manch einer vielleicht nicht realisiert, super poetisch. Das normale Deutsch ist schon fast Shakespearean, so wie die Wortzusammensetzungen sind und wie neue Wörter entstehen aus zwei Wörtern. Einfach machen wir ein neues Wort draus, so.
Ja.
Was es halt in Englisch dann überhaupt nicht gibt. Deswegen witzigerweise, als ich Shakespeare-Unterricht hatte, hat mir mein Deutsch komplett so geholfen. Auf Englisch. Also englisches Shakespeare.
Ja.
Und aber der Satzbau und diese Art von Wörtern, diese Zusammensetzung, neue Wörter zu machen, hat super geholfen. Und dadurch geht vielleicht viel Emotion, ich weiß nicht, ob das stimmt, aber ich habe das Gefühl, dass eventuell viel in die Sprache schon reinfließt. Und dass die Sprache das fast abnimmt, die Emotionen, die man eigentlich darstellen möchte. So. Und da muss man vielleicht aufpassen, so dass man das nicht nur versucht, über die Sprache zu machen. Das ist auch allgemein im deutschen Schauspiel so, während in USA oder allgemein International Acting Style dieses Realismus am oberster Stelle steht, im deutschen TV, Schauspiel etc. Sprache ganz oben. Aussprache, alles muss perfekt klingen, jeder muss perfektes Deutsch sprechen und dann ist es aber viel, ich fühle mich echt schlecht, anstelle davon, dass man sich wirklich schlecht fühlt. So,
ja.
Ich bin echt total froh. Okay, aber du zeigst gar nicht, dass du froh bist. So dieses, tell it but don't show it basically und nicht show it, don't tell it. So, beides ist mit beiden Sprachen, theoretisch ist beides genau das Gleiche. Schauspiel, selbst wenn ich jetzt eine Sprache erfinde und die mit euch rede, kann das immer noch genau die gleichen Emotionen übertragen, weil es nicht in der Sprache steckt. Aber es ist einfach nur für mich, dass man da vielleicht aufpassen muss, so, weil die Sprache eben sehr viel beschreibender ist, finde ich. Ja, und deswegen ist es leichter in Englisch, finde ich.
Auf jeden Fall.
Ja.
Deutsch ist ja auch irgendwie so die Sprache der Dichter und Denker,
genau.
Das Land der Dichter und Denker. Mit noch, also was kennt man in den USA? Goethe, Schiller auf jeden Fall kennt man, oder?
Ja, nicht unbedingt, aber...
Ja, vielleicht.
Es gibt manche Goethe- und Schillerstraßen in den USA.
Ja, genau, das darf man zumindest schon sagen. Aber ich würde auch dazu sagen, also wenn ich hier in Deutschland im Theater bin, dann merke ich wirklich relativ schnell, obwohl ich die deutsche Sprache mehr oder weniger beherrsche im Alltag, also wenn es wirklich um was Poetisches geht, verstehe ich gefühlt nur die Hälfte.
Aber das geht den deutschen Muttersprachlern auch so. So wenn man in der 8. Klasse anfängt, solche Dramen zu lesen, versteht man auch nur die Hälfte.
Ja, das beruhigt mich aber dann schon ein bisschen, muss ich ganz ehrlich gestehen. Weil
ich finde, da kriegt die deutsche Sprache aber auch immer so einen falschen Ruf. Ich weiß nicht, ihr kennt sicher diese Videos. Ich weiß nicht, ob du jemals vielleicht so ein Video gemacht hast, aber man kennt ja diese Videos, wo Schmetterling, Butterfly. Ja, ja. Blah,
so, und dann, ich habe das Gegenteil dazu gemacht.
Gut, gut, ja. Sehr gut. Weil die sind immer, das ist dann immer jemand, der gar kein Deutsch spricht und dann das letzte Wort schreit. Cool, ja, ja. Ich kann, I can scream Butterfly too.
Ja. Ja, ja.
But, aber, weil die deutsche Sprache ist eigentlich echt schön, finde ich.
Voll.
So, super, sehr, genau, sehr poetisch, sehr, sehr schön und das realistische Deutsch, wie Menschen halt tatsächlich sprechen, ist vielleicht anders als diese poetische Art zu reden. Und ja. Manchmal wird halt in dieser Art geschrieben, wie Menschen halt gar nicht sprechen. So wie wir halt jetzt gerade reden. So, weißt du?
Es gibt auch wirklich gute deutsche Filme, das sind halt absolut, meistens die Fernsehproduktionen, wo sie das wo es total realistisch ist. Mhm. Ich verstehe halt auch nicht, warum das in den Fernsehen. Also ich hatte schon mehrere Konversationen mit meinen Eltern darüber, weil die schauen sowas ganz viel, das ist auch vielleicht ein bisschen die Generation. Ich denke mir so, hä, wie könnt ihr das anschauen? Das ist doch, ich stehe dann so bei einer Szene dabei und denke mir so, hä, kein Schwein redet so, ihr redet nicht so, ich rede nicht so. Auch wie die, also auch die Körpersprache teilweise ist eben theatralisch und unrealistisch, das verstehe ich gar nicht. Also diese, ich glaube, das Genre wird auch irgendwann aussterben. Ich habe das Gefühl, die jüngere Generation wächst halt auch nicht mehr ganz so viel damit auf. Aber also sehe ich genauso. Ja,
wahrscheinlich Gewohnheit auch.
Ja, ja,
und
genau.
Das ist diese Gewohnheit von, das ist Schauspiel. Das ist Film. Das ist halt dieses, ist ja schon das Wort Schauspiel, zur Schau spielen. Instead of acting, doing, you know. Acting, machen. Mhm. So, machen. So,
stimmt.
Das ist, aber
Schauspiel ist so zur Schau
stellen. Schauspiel, genau. Ist
so,
eine
Show,
das liegt schon, ist schon fast im Wort so irgendwie. Und, aber genau wie du sagst, ich glaube auch mit jüngeren Generationen, die dann auch extrem mit internationalen Sachen aufwachsen und diesen Stil dann vielleicht auch daran gewohnt sind.
Ja.
So, aber man sieht es ja auch zum Beispiel Dark auf Netflix, war dann ja schon dann sehr in so einem internationalen Stil und auch andere Serien. Und ich glaube, etwas 1899 oder wie sie hieß, na gut, das war jetzt eine Co-Production zwischen Ländern, aber ja, ich glaube, das ist so, dass auch was Deutschland betrifft, das auf einem guten Weg, denke ich, dass da mehr in diese Richtung gemacht wird und hoffentlich dann auch geguckt wird. Das ist, ne, man kann ja nicht nur man kann ja nicht nur immer sagen, die produzieren nichts Richtiges, müssen dann die Leute auch gucken. So,
klar,
das
der Markt I'm gonna decide that we're gonna switch back to English because it's too many subtitles.
sorry.
Okay, how to summarize this, Josh?
Oh no, I knew you were gonna ask me. I was hoping that you would take
all right,
it over.
I'm gonna summarize it really briefly. We talked about which languages or what Aramis thinks, which language can transport emotions better. He basically said English and German can basically both do it equally, except that he thinks German is a little bit more poetic, and therefore it's a little bit easier in German to glide into or slide into this like theatrical, over-the-top drama kind of acting. And then we talked a little bit about what we said earlier, how this acting style, especially in TV productions in Germany, is a little bit more that compared to the realistic approach in international acting. I hope I did a good job summarizing that.
Yeah, great. I think that's perfect.
Cool.
Yeah. And then there are, of course, exemptions for in Germany. There are great
productions. Of course, yes.
And there are hopefully more and more because people might want that, hopefully, in the future.
Fingers crossed.
All right. It was really great having you, Aramis. I don't know if there's any last words that you want to share on this episode. You're probably not going to get another chance because the podcast is ending soon.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Okay.
And last words. Do you have a last question by any chance? That could be my last words.
No, I think that was our last question. We already asked so many questions today. I feel like I really know you now. And I think this is interesting. Yeah. It's not like I've watched all of your videos. As I said, I don't usually watch that niche that intensely, but I've seen a lot of your videos. But in most of them, I feel like the audience doesn't really learn that much about you as a person. So at least for me, this was really, really interesting because I learned a lot about the things that I didn't know about you. So thanks for sharing all of that and thanks for being
on
the podcast.
Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Aramis, for sitting down and having this conversation with us. We really enjoy getting to talk to you. And we hope that you all enjoyed the conversation as well.
I learned a lot about the acting world. I'm not familiar with that at all, except for the fact that I know that a lot of German roles are always played by non-German speakers, and that drives me crazy. And now with what you told about you know, how they don't care about the accents and the language. Oops, sorry, that was my phone. That happened last time when I recorded by myself too, that I was like, oops, sorry, I'm professional. Now that he said that they really didn't care and they were like, oh, just speak some French and German instead of Russian and Arabic.
And Arabic, basically the same.
I'm not surprised anymore. But also, even though he doesn't really want to do it a lot anymore, I'm glad that for a while he did do the German roles as an actual German native speaker. I'm happy that there are people that are available for that and that can actually play those. Exactly. And that can actually then speak the language and tell them if they're what they're saying makes sense or if it just doesn't make sense at all. Like, it's also the case in some TV shows where they're just saying some gibberish and then the person that is supposed to be German and listening to that responds with like, oh yeah, you're so right about that. And I'm just sitting there like, they didn't say anything.
I know Christoph Waltz and Kerry Washington worked a lot together to get make sure her pronunciation was good and all of that as well.
Yeah. So I looked into that difference. Scene. Yeah. But yeah, that was really, really interesting. Honestly, a whole different side of a German living in the US. Like LA by itself is so different anyways. And then with the whole Hollywood aspect and all of that, I'm really, really glad that we had him on for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching and for listening. Of course, we're still going to have a few more episodes, so make sure that you are subscribed, that you do follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. Leave us a review, too, if you want to. On Apple Podcasts, you can write even like a little sentence. On Spotify, you can just do like a 5-star rating or 4-star. Or I'll accept 3 stars, but I'd rather have a 5-star.
I think our ratings might go down now that people are upset about us ending the podcast.
No, this is hopefully the last chance that you're going to have to rate this because, I mean, the good thing is the content is going to stay online. So for future people who stumble upon this or stumble upon,
both work.
Okay, cool. That stumble across this podcast in the future, it's probably going to be nice to read a few reviews for them to see if it's worth their time. But yeah, we're going to hopefully be back in 2 weeks. I don't honestly at this point don't want to promise too much.
I was going to say I wouldn't promise anything at this point, but we haven't forgotten about you guys. We won't forget about you. We just are both extremely busy right now. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm actually going on vacation tomorrow. So the next episode, I can tell you a little bit about my vacation in the Dominican Republic, which I'm super excited for.
Domrep.
In the Domrep geht's jetzt. For my first time. So I'm excited
for
that.
So cool. I've never been. So I'm looking forward to hearing about how it is too.
Well, you and I went to Puerto Rico together and that is... Yep. A different experience, first of all, of course, for the culture and everything. But I mean, they're kind of right next to each other. But then also it's U.S. territory. So the whole traveling there, like all of that experience was different with
Puerto Rico as opposed to now you're truly leaving the country.
Exactly. And I had to fill out some kind of like immigration form or like traveler's form or something. And I have to make sure I bring my green card and, you know, the whole spiel.
Oh, man. So the whole kit and caboodle.
But anyways, we'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks. And until then, macht's gut. Tschüss.
Macht's gut. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
Tschüssikowski.
Tschüss mit uns.